Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and may I say happy Thanksgiving to you on behalf of Gretchen, myself, Loman Ministries. I pray that you and your family and friends, as you gather over this upcoming Thanksgiving, will have a wonderful day of remembering to give thanks for all the good things God has provided for us. It's not always been easy for us, has it? But I'm so thankful that God has been faithful to be with us, as he promised, no matter what we may face from day to day, week to week, month to month, or from year to year. Happy Thanksgiving. We're going to be featuring a sermon preached by my father titled, Be Found Faithful. And certainly, we want to be faithful in these days. Also a song by Mr. Glenn Campbell, the late Mr. Glenn Campbell. It's a beautiful song about Thanksgiving and harvest, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience today, and we are indeed thankful for your blessings in our lives. And I pray that the program today will be a blessing to all who are listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance on this Sunday before Thanksgiving 2024. I pray that you'll be with us as we finish up our ministry year, as we look forward to some downtime with family and friends. I thank you, Father, for a good year, for your goodness to us. Be with those who are sick and shut in, those who are not able to get out and visit with family and friends over this Thanksgiving season and the upcoming Christmas season. I pray that you'd be with the churches as they gather. We thank you so much for the Church of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Son of God who gave himself for us. We are thankful. I pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. A simple request as we prepare for the song and the sermon. Would you pray for us? And if the Lord lays it upon your heart, would you include Loman Ministries in your Christmas giving this year so that we might continue this radio program in the coming weeks and months? It would mean so much. You can write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Pray for me as I minister today, this weekend, that is, November the 24th, Bell Fountain, Ohio, and then next weekend, December the 1st, Columbus, Indiana, at the Flintwood Wesleyan Church. I would appreciate it so very, very much. Thanks again for listening today.
In a field without words, we are but seeds in his eyes. So he nurtures with grace, and his hands work the earth, that his fruit may be sanctified. Come harvest time, come harvest time, what thanksgiving we will show when the plowman brings freedom from the earth here below. Come harvest time, oh, what joy will be known when he gathers the souls of the seeds he has sown. Thanksgiving we will show when the plowman brings freedom from the earth here below. Come harvest time, oh what joy will be known when he gathers the soul of the seeds he has sown.
This morning, I want to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture that is found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. And I read out of this letter in the fourth chapter and begin reading with verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. These five verses in the fourth chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. And I lift out of this passage the text that is found in verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject that text suggests, the simple word faithfulness. There's one word in this verse that may be somewhat misleading, and that is the word steward. Because sometimes when we read a word like that, and then we recognize that there are some people in the religious world that are identified in some religious bodies as stewards, that immediately we apply that particular word to that specified group of individuals that are identified in this realm and pass by and fail to see the real significance of truth that is wrapped up in the entirety of the word. This particular word, steward, this morning, is not designated or to be applicable to just some specified group of individuals in an ecclesiastical body, but it involves every person in this congregation this morning as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that without question, it is required in every one of us that men be found faithful. I recognize that as we look at this truth, that some of you reminisce down the memory lanes of your life, and from the time that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you knew the blessing of sins forgiven, had an impartation of divine grace, was conscious of the fact that the Spirit did bear witness with your spirit that you belong to the family of God, that across these many years you've endeavored by the help and the undergirding strength given to you by the Holy Spirit to be faithful in every area of your Christian life until you come to this Sunday morning hour with a conscience that is void of offense toward God and man, insofar as your consecration to God is concerned. But dear friend, we're living in a day when this civilization that we have now is so complex that it's a mighty easy thing, if we're not careful, to somehow fail in some measure in standing true to some things that are necessary if we are to continue to have the smile of the Lord upon our soul and the blessing of God within our heart. The pressures of life, the storms that surround us, the waves that beat against us, the difficulties that we encounter, the problems, the perplexities that seem to surround us on every side, the powers of Satan. Oftentimes it seems that the prince of the power of the air will sap all the spiritual strength that we have. The things that we come face to face with would cause us to feel that it's constantly difficult for us to get our prayers through to the skies when the heavens seem like brass and the atmosphere is clouded. But today it's wonderful that in the midst of all those circumstances and conditions that we can have within the inner recesses of our soul, a determination within our heart that irrespective of what surrounds us, we've made up our mind by the help of God that we're going to be faithful right down to the end of time, to the last ebb tide of life, and have the smile of the Lord upon our soul when we get ready to leave this world to step into His presence in the glory. Oftentimes we sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And when we face these conditions that I've just mentioned, we can sing through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come, but it's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home when we've been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. There's something specifically that you and I need to be found faithful to. as we live in this life, we need without question to always be found faithful to the triune God. There are three distinct personalities that make up the Godhead. We cannot separate one from the other. If we believe in God the Father, we must believe in God the Son. And if we believe in God the Son, and He has become a reality within our soul, then there's a receptivity within our soul for everything that God the Holy Spirit wants to do for our heart, and we give Him first priority in our hearts and lives to lead us in any direction, in any area that He so desires, without any rebellion whatsoever. I know, beloved, that we're living in a day when we know that we're in the minority. But my friends, I'd rather be in the minority on the Lord's side with a smile of God upon my soul than to have the majority of the applause of this world to my life and have an empty heart and an aching void within my soul. When I think about the God of the skies, the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God of the universe, would ever see fit to even consider a little finite, insignificant human being such as I was, with nothing much to offer Him, that God would love me enough that He was willing to lift me out of the gutters of sin and despair and change my life and, beloved, put a goal within my soul, put my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I could know beyond any doubt that I was no longer a foreigner and a stranger and an alien to the commonwealth of Israel, but a naturalized citizen of the kingdom of God. There is no desire within my soul, beloved, in any measure, to be anything other than faithful to the God that sits on the throne in the skies, the God that set the furnace of the sun on fire and put the queen of night into her orbit and set the stars to dancing in the heavenlies and scooped out the valleys and upreared the mountains and set thus far to ocean waves shalt thou come and no further. The God that carpeted this earth with verdant green and laced it with running brooks and with flowing rivers. The God that blew His breath upon the petal of a rose and turned it to a golden yellow, a velvet pink, a crimson red, a lily white. A God that could paint the late afternoon sunset with all the golden hues of heaven's beauty and set the evening star in the western horizon to stand like a lone sentinel on guard duty, and could take a little dust and make man in the likeness of His image and breathe into man the breath of life and man become a living soul. A God, beloved, that loved us enough that He was willing to permit a little virgin to conceive and bring forth a child, and that child's name should be called Jesus. And a God that was willing for that Christ, the second personality of the Godhead, to condescend from the glory into this sin-cursed world and live among men for 33 odd years, walk the rock-crested hill of Calvary's brow, bear an unfitted crown of thorns, and drive the nails in His hands and feet, thrust a sword into His side. A God that loved us enough, and a Christ that was willing to come and give His life and die an ignominious death that you and I might live, beloved. I want you to know a God like that is going to have every area of my life faithful to His cause right down to the last moments of my life. And you know, I've often thought about the second person of the Trinity. I've never seen Jesus. I never looked upon those nail-scarred hands and that thorn-scarred brow. And I wasn't there the day when He said, "I thirst," and they put the gall and the vinegar to His mouth. And I wasn't there the day that He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. And I've seen pictures of Him across the years of my Christian experience. Whether the artists have a proper conception of what He looks like, I do not know. I've seen the picture of Him, beloved, as He stands at the door knocking, when He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." I've seen the picture of him as he sat overlooking Jerusalem the night, beloved, after he made his triumphal entry into the city and cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, my Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you under my wing as a hen gathereth her brood, but you would not." I've seen the picture of him as he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, as it were, sweat drops of blood, when he cried, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done." I've seen the picture painted of him as he stood with outstretched arms the morning that he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." I've seen the picture painted of the Master when he, beloved, hung there on Calvary's cross the day that he died, that men might be redeemed. I want you to know, I repeat, that I've never seen him. I wasn't there. I don't know whether the artists have a proper conception of what he looks like or not, but I remember reading about a man that did see him one day. But John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me the voices of a trumpet, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God. He was clothed with a garment from his head down to his foot. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet as fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. His voice was as a sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand a sharp two-edged sword. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand on me and said, 'Fear not, John, I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death.'" And listen, beloved, I want you to know that Christ that John saw not only came, not only lived and died and rose again, but, beloved, ascended back to the Father, where he lives this morning. But before he went away, he said, "If I go away, I'll send you another comforter." And I'm so glad the third person of the Trinity and showed himself, beloved, to those and that would receive him into their hearts. And I'm so glad that he not only came into this world, but I'm so glad that he lives within my heart this morning, sits on the throne in my soul, bears witness to the fact that I belong to the family of God. And I want you to know, I've had some people who accuse me, or at least leave the implication. They've said that one day, Brother Loman, he'll kind of slip away from this old-fashioned way, and he'll quit preaching the old-fashioned doctrines, and he'll quit fighting sin. But listen, friend, just don't waste your energy and don't waste your mind ever giving that a thought that this preacher will ever let up one iota. I want you to know, I intend to be faithful to the triune God. Brother, sister, for 32 years, he's walked with me, and he's talked with me, and he's told me more than one time that I belong to him. Listen, friend, we may not have much of this world's goods, but if you have him in your soul this morning, you've got the best thing there is this side the glory. And you can sing, "My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full, he has riches untold. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down. I'm an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. A tin or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing. All glory to God, I'm a child of the King. And brother, sister, for what he's done for me, I intend to be found faithful." Hallelujah. Brother, sister, I'm not only going to be faithful because it's required, but because it's the ultimate desire of my soul. Have the smile and the blessing of God on my heart. But you, sir, Brother Loman, this morning, you don't realize some of the things we encounter. Yes, beloved, I know that the devil's doing his best to sap our strength, put the fire out on the altar of our soul, make black and dark our life. But I'm glad that this God, brother, that loved you is still standing by, and he's promised, "I'll not allow anything to come upon you that you're not able to bear, but with every temptation I'll make a way of escape." Some of you have heard me refer to this maybe in other days, but
But a little lady down in Thomasville, North Carolina, one morning was going about the normal chores of her household duties. Their only child, a precious little girl, the pride and joy of their life, was playing on the back porch. And all of a sudden, that little girl screamed and ran to the feet of her mother and collapsed, and her little doll rolled off to one side. That little mother cried aloud, and the neighbor heard her and came rapidly and saw the little girl was having difficulty breathing. They summoned the doctor. When the doctor arrived, the little girl had drawn her last breath, slipped away suddenly into eternity with a cerebral hemorrhage. They sent for the father from the factory. Doctor had to put mother and father both to bed under sedatives. That preacher, their pastor, I heard him make the statement. He said, I went into that little home. He said, there was those two parents, that husband and wife. The only child they had, the pride and joy of their life, had been taken away suddenly. But he said, I never saw two people as strong and as stalwart with the grace of God and with the strength that they had. And he said, they never questioned God. He said, naturally, their heart was aching within them. There would be an empty bed. There would be an empty chair. Those little playthings would never be handled by the tender little hands of that little girl again. But he said, I never saw them question God one time. He said, we made the arrangements for the funeral. I led the procession in the church on Sunday afternoon, preached the funeral out to the silent city of the dead. They placed that little white casket on the lowering device. And he said, I gave the committal and benediction. And the undertaker walked over to those parents and said, would you like to go to the car while we finish the grave? And he said, that little mother stood there and said, no, I don't want to go yet. I want you to go ahead and let the casket down. That preacher said, as that little white casket descended into that open grave, the silence of that afternoon air was broken as that little mother stood there and she lifted her voice in song and she began to sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free and then go home a crown to wear where there's a crown for me. And he said when she finished, she turned to the funeral director and said, I'm ready to go. He said that funeral director assisted them to the car, came back across that cemetery lawn, and he said he walked up to me and burst into tears and cried like a baby. He said he put his arms around me and he said, Reverend, if I ever get religion, I want the kind that little mother's got that'll have a song when it's dark and when storms are on.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.